One of the things about finished work ministries, no matter what their name is that they will always bring the mind of Christ. They'll always deal in the perspective of the finished work. They will never deal in the perspective of the natural man. I think a lot of ministries will try to deal with the natural man. I saw a website recently from a church in a southern state that was an Anabaptist church. Now, I don't know a lot about the Anabaptists, but when I looked at their statement of faith, I thought it was really quite interesting. They say that this particular church, I don't know that this is all Anabaptist churches, if this is standard Anabaptist doctrine or if this is this particular church's doctrine, I don't know. But they said they believe in salvation by grace, which is wonderful, that's right on the money. They believe in eternal security, they believe in soul winning. I'm thinking, hey, maybe this is a great church. And then they said, we also believe that we must preach the law. King James 16:11 is the inspired word of God. And I thought, oh my goodness, where did you guys lose it? If King James 16:11 is, you know what I mean by King James 16:11? The original King James Bible was written in 16:11. So that original version only is the, as they said, the finalized, inspired Word of God. Right? This is the one that said, oh my God, only English speakers have the Bible. You know, what about the poor other, what is it, 5,700,000,000 people in the world, however many, right? I guess the Brits and some people in Africa, and they speak English too, but you know, and the Aussies. But what about everybody? So okay, 500 billion or 5,500,000,000 people in the world don't have the Bible then, because they can't read it. The other thing was that they said they believe in preaching the law because repentance will only come if you preach the law. And that is such a corruption. What they're saying, we believe in dealing with the natural man and applying the natural man to manipulate him out of being the natural man and make him right with God. God didn't do that. God crucified him. God didn't try to make the natural man right with God. God brought a new man. I live in the new man. I don't live in the natural man. I live in the new man. And it's not to say that, you know, because I am a human being, that I am evil and wicked when I fail. We all fail. And sometimes I think I fail and I don't even fail. Right? But because of the way I'm made up, I'm a human being, I'm a person, I have insecurities, I have frailties, weaknesses, failures. I hate driving behind slow drivers in the fast lane. They just make me nuts. But the point is that, you know, we are humans. God has cleansed us with His blood. He's taken our sins away from us. Even the sins that I sin today, He's taken away from me. If I fail today, it's already been hung on the cross. Every sin that I committed was hung on the cross before the foundation of the world. Because that's when the Lamb was slain, Revelation 13:8. Every mistake I ever made, every failure I had, every wrong thought, everything was hung on the cross before the foundation of the world. It's always been a finished work. No, it's always been a finished work. If I don't think in the finished work, I'm not thinking correctly. The dusty man, the old man, would think in other terms. Now, I don't get condemned by that. I just recognize that in me, there are two men. There is the man, according to the law of sin and death, that Christ had crucified so that I could have the new man. And I have to sometimes choose actively which I will listen to. Sometimes the temptation is to listen to the old man. And more frequently than not, in a group like this, I'd say maybe 99.9% of the time in a group like this, the temptation is not to think in the new, in the old man in terms of sin, or in terms of lust, or in terms of other things. The temptation is to think in the wrong terms as opposed to not thinking in the finished work. I mean, the people here love God. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't love God and love His Word, because it's all we have to offer. And cookies. The people here love God. And they love purity, they love righteousness, they love the heart of God, they possess it. The thinking is to think of myself, toward myself even more than towards others, in terms other than the finished work. If I see myself in terms other than the finished work, I'm thinking wrong thoughts. I'm thinking wrong thoughts. When you hear a message and it convicts, I have to think toward myself in the finished work. Because if I don't, and believe me, I've been in that place more than 1,000 times. If I hear a message and it convicts and I think of myself in anything other than the finished work, I'll get condemned. The message isn't brought to condemn. The message is brought to instruct. And half the time, the message isn't for me anyway. For example, when I hear a message and it convicts, if it is for me, if I am actually living in the sin that it's talking about, then maybe it is for me. But if I'm not, then it's for somebody else. And I take it as a principle, and that's all. If the Holy Spirit says to me, this is you, then He is convicting me to instruct me. If He doesn't say to me, this is you, and very frequently it isn't, then it is for somebody else. And I receive the message as a principle rather than as a conviction. Line upon line, precept upon precept. But what happens to people because they don't yet. And this isn't because of a failure even. This is because of growth. I mean, there is no spiritual pixie dust. Okay? God doesn't take a wand when we get saved, go bing, or when we get into a church, we go bing, and we're all set. No, there's growth. There's growth. We are growing. We're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. There's growth. So the message comes, whatever it may be, convicting or not, and if it is convicting, then it's not because I'm a horrible whatever. It's simply because God is teaching me something. You learn a skill. At first, you're not great at it. And you get better at it. And after a while, you're pretty good at it, but you're not perfect at it. And you keep going, and you get better at it, and you get better at it, and you get better at it. And after a while, you're really pretty good at that skill, but you're still not perfect at it. So He keeps bringing things in, keeps teaching me, He keeps teaching me, He keeps teaching me. By the way, the day you're perfect is the day you went home. You may as well accept this fact. It is a truth. The day you're perfect is the day you went home. Notice past tense, went home. Don't try to be perfect and don't worry about it if you're not. It's a finished work. I'll guarantee you I'll do something today that's not right. I'll get mad at the guy in the fast lane going slow. I'll guarantee you I'll do something that's not right. I already did on the way over. I got mad at a guy in the fast lane going slow. So get out of my way. I'm going to church, you jerk. I'm the pastor. I guarantee you I'll do something that's not right. You know what? It's okay. It was hung on the cross before the world began. What I need to do is think of myself in the terms of the finished work. That I am already what God has made me to be. And even if my experience does not 100% of the time conform to my position, God is conforming me to His image. And that's not overnight. There is no magic wand. That's not overnight. I mean, I've lived in the world for a certain amount of time, or maybe I've lived under bad teaching for a certain amount of time, and in the world, to boot. I have things in my thoughts that aren't always right. And God has to teach me differently. And so He does. Does that mean I'm a wicked, evil loser? No. I'm washed in the blood. I'm accepted in the Beloved. It just means I'm His child and I'm growing. What it means actually is that I'm healthy. It means that I'm healthy. It doesn't mean that I'm evil. It means that I'm healthy. Because only the unhealthy child will not grow. I'm growing. That's what I'm doing. I'm growing. What do I need to grow? I need proper nutrition. Then the growth comes on its own. Which brings us to the intro. If you will turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 11. Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. And verse 31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with by flatteries. But the people that do not know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for the time appointed. And the king, well, this is a really good passage, and the king shall do accordingly to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. This is very much a picture of, and now it is not speaking of this age, but it is a picture of this age. Especially in verse 32, and they shall do wickedly against the covenant. What does that mean? What is the covenant? It is a blood covenant. It is a finished work covenant. And they do wickedly against the finished work covenant. Now the New Testament commentary on this, in that picture, is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, out of in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You see, here we have two types. We have the finished work apostle teaching the finished work pastor. And on the other hand, we have what is essentially the Laodicean age. The age that defiles the covenant, that goes against the covenant. The covenant is the finished work covenant. It is the blood of Christ that sealed that covenant. If I go against the finished work, I am going against the covenant. This is why in Psalms it says the throne of iniquity does mischief according to the law. You see, it's like when I insist on the law to justify my flesh, to bring it into some sort of conformity, or if I use the law to condemn my flesh, to say it is evil, wicked, no good, not acceptable, what I am doing is I am going against the covenant. And even now, even in this realization, I can be condemned. You know what? There is no condemnation. That is the covenant. There is no condemnation. That's the covenant. Do you get this? That's the covenant. So even in my failure against the covenant, I'm not condemned. If I don't believe, He still abides faithful. He doesn't change. He doesn't change His mind about me. He doesn't change His calling for me. He doesn't change His promises toward me. He doesn't change His heart toward me. He doesn't change His love toward me. He doesn't change anything about who and what He is toward me and what He thinks, even if I don't accept it at the moment. I may feel like I'm not accepted in the Beloved, but that's because I'm feeding on the wrong thoughts. I may say, God, I can't believe it because I have the wrong, because I have a flesh, I have weaknesses, I have failures in my life, and that's because I'm looking at my failures rather than looking at the finished work. You know what God looks at when He sees me? He looks at the blood of His Son. He looks at the blood of His Son. This is why Paul could be an apostle, because he was a mass murderer. Paul made Jack, whatever, the Ripper, whatever his name was, he was nothing compared to Paul. He was nothing. He was a good guy compared to Paul. Paul would travel the world, hunt Christians down, and kill them. He was vile. And what happened? God stops him on the road to Damascus, and the finished work comes in. And the first thing he does is blinds him, because he wanted Paul to see that he was living in blindness. He was living in the law. He was applying the law to himself, because he said, I was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And he was applying the law to Christians, because they would not submit to the law. They submitted to the finished work of Christ. And so the first thing he has to do is blind him, so that he can see the state that he's actually in. And then once he blinds him, he gets to the house of the man of God, and his eyes are opened. You know, you can choose what you believe. My advice is believe the finished work, because it is your choice. We're so intimately acquainted with our sin nature that we think that somehow it is greater than the finished work. And this is what Daniel's talking about as a picture. My sin nature is not greater than the finished work. Yet in church after church, and thank God not every church, many are not like this, but many are. They try to apply the law. They teach the law. They say, be perfect by the law. And you get enough of that and you start believing it. Why? Because you believe what you hear. Faith comes by hearing. And so you put your faith in the wrong place. You put your faith in something other than the finished work, and your thinking is conformed to a non-finished work standard. The only standard of the Bible was always, always the finished work. Even when the law was given, It was not given for individuals to adhere to. It was, one, given for the protection of the nation. And two, it was given to illustrate the righteousness of Christ. And three, it was given to keep every mouth shut so that everyone knew they needed a Savior. It was never given for me to adhere to. See, this is one of the things that Satan likes to do. He likes to bring in that law. Why? Because it's just a bunch of fig leaves, and as soon as I put on my fig leaves, I'm hiding from God. I think towards myself, I think towards you, I think towards life, I think towards every circumstance in the finished work. If I don't think in the finished work, I'm not thinking in reality. By the way, this little flesh that I have, 70, 80 years, 90 if I'm really lucky, and I'm out. Maybe that long. God, I mean, nobody knows the number of days, right? But maybe that long. Maybe. That's like the max. And then I'm out. And then reality is by sight. But for now, reality is only by faith because I cannot see the invisible. Thank God we cannot see the invisible. Why? Because then we'd see the warfare. Now, reality is what is written in the finished work, grace, gospel of God. I'm already perfect. I'm already accepted in the Beloved. I'm already seated above. I'm already loved by God. I'm already everything that God wants me to be. I am already all of those things. Why? Because I've perfected it? No, because He's made me perfect. That's why He came. That's why He died. He made me perfect. I'm not perfect in and of myself. I'm perfect because He made me that way. But I still have a flesh. Yes, so what? That doesn't change the finished work. You know what that means? Is I'm still wearing a coat. That's all. I'm still wearing a coat. When I go home, I can take my coat off. But while I'm outside, I'm going to wear my coat. And that's the way God designed it. So if my coat has a hole in it, because I've been in the warfare, and I got a bullet hole in my coat, it's still a coat, and I'm still going to wear it. I still have a flesh. And I'll have that till the day I die, but just because I wear a flesh doesn't mean I live in the flesh. I live in the finished work. You see, people think that living in the flesh means wrong decisions, and this is a part of it. Wrong decisions, freaking out, lust patterns, whatever it may be. They don't consider that living in the flesh is not seeing myself according to the finished work, because that's where all the other things come from. Do you know why Satan attacks you and tells you you're rotten? It's not that you're rotten. You're beautiful to God. You're wonderful to God. But you know why he says you're rotten? It's because he wants you to become rotten. He's not telling you what is. He's telling you what he wants you to be. What is perfect. I've been perfected in Christ. And I am perfect. And when God sees me, he sees perfection. And seeing as how he knows absolutely everything, I think I may as well just agree with him. Where I get in trouble is where I don't agree with him. And then I get things like condemnation, a bad self-image, anxiety, hang-ups, doubts, insecurities, all that stuff. That's where that happens. It's not because I've agreed with Christ, it's because I haven't. And even there, the flesh will want to get condemned. And Satan will throw projections. Hey, see, you didn't agree with God, man. What kind of a Christian are you? You don't even know the finished work. Either do you. And you know what? I get to live in it and you're going to hell. By the way, when that negative self-image thought comes, tell Satan to take a hike. Just remind him where he's going and what his image is now. Tell him, listen, you mangy dog, because that's how he appears. Listen, you mangy dog. You have no control over me. Go to hell. Go to your eternal abode. Enjoy it. At least you won't be cold. Who do you think gives you those thoughts? You know what? It's not even you that give you those thoughts. It's the atmosphere projecting into your ear, trying to get you to be something you're not, but telling you that you are. And the effect is that if I start listening it long enough, faith comes by hearing. I'll start believing it. I'll start believing it. This is why we're doing a series on warfare. Because I need to understand the strategies of Satan against me. And he'll take a Christian who's a beautiful child of God, loves God, has a tremendous heart after God, a laid down life, beautiful Christian, and he'll condemn them. He'll say, look in. Look, you're not so perfect. And then he condemns them for it. Well, he's a liar. You are perfect. You were accepted in the Beloved. You're beautiful to God. You're perfect. And if you do make a mistake, it's already been hung on the cross before the foundation of the world, and you've already been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the world. You were born that way. And God knew you would be saved, so you were born that way. Who can lay any charge to God's elect? But we still lay a charge to ourselves because we listen to the atmosphere as it whispers in my ear, you are somehow less than. No, I'm not. Next time that thought comes, and it comes to everybody. Next time that thought comes, number one, how do you deal with Satan? Number one, recognize the source. People think those thoughts are their own thoughts. Recognize the source. Next time the attack comes, the projection comes, the bad self-image comes, the insecurity comes, the doubt comes, whatever it is, recognize the source. Number one. Number two, cast it down. As in, hurl it away from you. As in, do not meditate on it. Do not accept it. Do not think with it. Hurl it away from you. So recognize the source, hurl it away from you, cast it down. It's not God. It's not you either. Somebody's whispering in your ear. Number three, revenge disobedience with obedience. So what do? I purpose to think toward myself in the finished work. I purpose to think toward myself in mercy. I purpose to think toward myself in grace. I purpose to think toward myself with the mind of God. What does He see? Is God saying, oh, you're such a loser? Yeah, that's rich. I'm in Christ. I must be a real loser. Of course not. God said we're more than victorious. We're more than conquerors. Revenge all disobedience with obedience. Think of yourself in the finished work. That is your identity. That's reality. That is reality. That's who you are. That is reality. That's your identity. Think toward yourself in the finished work. Oh, but you know, I know who I am and I appreciate that I'm in the finished work, but I know the things I've done and I know that I fail and I know that I get insecure. Stop listening to the stinking enemy. Tell him to take a hike. Number four, tell the devil to go to his home. Go home, devil. It's warmer there than it is here. I'm sure you'll like it just fine. You got a pool in your backyard. Or a lake. This is what you do with it. But what people don't do, and this is where they get caught, is they don't recognize the source. This is why spiritual warfare is so frequently effective. Because they don't recognize the source. They think it's their own thought telling them they're no good. It's a lie from the pit of hell being whispered into your ear by somebody else that you can't see. But I'll guarantee it, that's who it is. Absolutely. He is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. And he's a father of lies. And when he lies, He simply acts according to His own nature. God says it is finished. It's done. There's nothing left to do. There's no more perfecting to be done. You've already been perfected. You're already seated above. You are already who you are. You're already who Christ has made you to be. You're already those things. Don't accept the lie from the atmosphere. It's not your thought. It's not your thought. In a manner of speaking, Christians live in this weird spiritual plagiarism because they accept these lies from the atmosphere. It's not your thought. It's the thought of another. But I hear it in my mind. Well, you know what? If you whisper to somebody, you hear it in your mind. That's where all hearing takes place. Ask any neurologist, that's where all hearing takes place. All hearing takes place in the mind. As a matter of fact, they've done tests on this. And certain types of brain damage can cause you to hear things that were not said. You know what? Certain types of, if you will, spiritual effect of the mind will cause you to hear things that are not said. This is why people can hear a message that's a beautiful love of God message and get condemned by it. Well, number one, the enemy is whispering to you so that you'll hear things that are not said. And you won't hear the things that are said. This is when conviction comes. People first say either, oh, that's for me. Well, how do you know it's for you? Were you identified by name in it? How do you know it's for you? Did the Holy Spirit say to your heart, you know what, this is you? Or was it your flesh and was it the enemy causing anxiety? By the way, if the Holy Spirit says it, it doesn't cause condemnation. If the Holy Spirit says it, it's instruction with edification and you're actually built up by the conviction. If it's a projection of condemnation, you're torn down by the conviction. You're condemned. Your heart starts to condemn you through the atmosphere's help. And what happens next? You feel awful about yourself. Well, no kidding. You've been listening to the wrong source. You think the demons are going to build you up? No, they're going to try to tear you down as best as they can. Take the finished work and run with it. Really, take the finished work and run with it. That's the reality. Take the finished work and run with it. If you're not running in your mind, in your viewpoint of yourself, in the viewpoint of every circumstance you're in the viewpoint of every person you ever encounter, if you're not running with the finished work, you're not living in reality. You think you are because you're walking by sight. But sight is not reality. How many angels you see in this room? Anybody see the angels? Well, I guarantee you they're here. The Bible says every single one of you has at least one, maybe two. Some scholars believe two. Ministering and warring. And then there's the angels who just kind of sit in on the message. Because there are those two. So you see them? Well, so much for your sight. You can't even see the people in the room. Stop trying to walk by sight. Stop trying to walk by sight. Think in the finished work. Stop trying to walk by sight. It doesn't work. What it does do is get you nice and condemned. Stop trying to walk by sight. Stop evaluating the message by sight. Doesn't work. Finished work is my filter for my life. That's what it is. The finished work is the filter for my life. The finished work is the filter for the message. The finished work is the filter for what people say to me. The finished work is the filter for my circumstances. The finished work is everything that I relate to, and it is my frame of reference. Plain and simple. It's my frame of reference. And if I don't live in that as a frame of reference, I'm not living anywhere near reality. Not to be condemned by that, you know, people even get condemned by that. Not to be condemned by that, but to realize, to get an awakening, to realize, hey, listen, this isn't actually real what I'm thinking. This is not actually real. This is not true what I'm thinking. It's like thinking that China is in Pittsburgh. go to Pittsburgh, you won't find China. Go to China, you won't find Pittsburgh. Well, let's think in reality. Really, let's think in reality. Stop dabbling in the flesh. Think in reality. The flesh isn't doing you any favors. Think with God's truth. Think with God's word. Don't think by sight. By the way, don't think by sight. Don't hear by sight either. Did you know believers hear by sight? They do. They hear by sight. They take what they hear and they measure it up how they, in what they walk by sight with. By sight, I got mad at a guy driving slow in the fast lane today. I sinned. By sight, I'm a wicked, evil sinner. I'm no good. By sight, I had a bad day. By sight, I lost it today. By sight, I did this, that, and the other thing today. By sight, I had some other type of failure today. Who cares what it is? Failure is a failure. God doesn't measure our failure. Oh, this is a 3-meter failure. Oh, this is only a 2-inch failure. God doesn't care what it is. A failure is a failure. But you know what? Whatever it is, it got hung on the cross and the work is finished. Stop evaluating by sight. Stop hearing by sight. I see my failures and I don't think finished work. You know what? Stop even seeing your failures. The only reason why the enemy brings your attention to them is because he wants those failures to become your frame of reference for the foundation of your own identity. I am a failure. No, you're not. You're victorious. You're a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You're the child of the King. What kind of a failure can you ever be? He's not going to let you fail. He's not going to let you fail. If you start to fail, He'll make sure you don't. If you live in a failure, He'll make sure you either get out of the failure by instruction, or He'll just take you home anywhere you won't be able to live in the failure. One or the other. You're still going to be you're going to end up perfect, and you're going to be able to deny it. Have a finished work perspective of your life. Anyway, just a thought.